the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. On today's show, we're going to cover a key topic that every couple needs to face before they make the decision to retire. It's about having a conversation that addresses the key topics every couple should address before they walk away and hang up their working suit. Now, some of these topics will seem obvious. Some of the others are really not being addressed. And the reasons to address them before you retire is so that you end up making the right choices and to prepare you in advance in case your retirement ends up coming sooner than expected due to recession and layoffs or even poor health. For example, we find that many couples are simply not in agreement as to whether they should binge watch cat videos on YouTube or binge watch previous episodes of Jeopardy. These are issues that need to be ironed out before you retire. And, well, we're here to help.
You know, I'm glad we're going to be covering a lot of these topics today, Chris, because a lot of the problems that many couples face in retirement are due to not addressing many of the issues we're going to be discussing here on the program today. There's a lot of planning and forethought that needs to take place before the actual decision to retire is actually made. In fact, the retirement landscape in this country is changing dramatically, and it's done so over the last couple of decades. If you take a look at a couple of things, people are living longer. So what does that mean? It means your income and assets are going to need to cover a longer period spent in retirement, which is kind of a good thing. But not only are people living longer, but they're also working longer because of, well, better health. And another reason that we see quite often, not having enough assets due to lack of either savings or the losses that came about as a result of two bear markets in the last decade.
So, Jim, as you look at these issues, other than binge-watching cat videos versus Jeopardy, are there any other issues that come to the top of the list or maybe even stand out as more important than other issues that need to be addressed?
You know, the one that kind of starts the whole conversation out, and you're going to see the differences when we get to our case study today, and that is deciding what age to retire. You know, whatever your age, you're 10, 20, 15 years, whatever that number is for you as an age, 60, 62, or are you going to wait to full retirement age at 66 for 60 or 67 for, let's say, full Social Security benefits? This is the decision that drives many of the other issues that follow. For example, how much assets you will need to live on and time to prepare for retirement. One issue that comes up more often now is an age difference between spouses. It's not unusual to find age differences anywhere from 5 to 15-year difference between usually the husband and wife, and that impacts a lot of Social Security choices as well as medical coverage. I have a client now who's getting ready to retire, and his wife is 14 years younger. Now, when he retires, he will go on Medicare because he'll be 65, and he'll be giving up his medical coverage with this company. However, by retiring, he gives up that policy, which also covered his wife's medical. She has, by the way, a pre-existing medical condition, so this created an issue of not only additional medical expenses, but also finding a medical carrier that would cover her condition. And there was an easy solution to this. So one of the issues it was resolved is that the wife would work for a number of years at her existing job and take the coverage with her employer versus the medical coverage she had with her husband's, which was a lot more comprehensive. And then she would use that with continuing options for coverage when she retired at age 62. And the Social Security choices are also an issue given their age difference, given 14 years. So a big age disparity between spouses can become a major issue or planning hurdle. Think of travel. Obviously, a man who is 14 years difference between a spouse may not be as healthy, let's say 5 to 10 years out, versus his wife, given their age difference and the very fact that women tend to outlive men. So the age at which you decide to retire is going to drive many of the other issues we'll be addressing here today.
So with that 14-year age difference, Jim, when he was 40 and she was 26, I imagine he was probably considered the cat's meow. But at this stage of life, I imagine he can be found taking a cat nap. So after making the decision to retire, though, Jim, what tops the priority list, as you see it, after the retirement age decision is made?
You know, this is a very important one. Next to the age you decide to retire is, what do you really want your retirement to look like? What will you do with all that free time? Do you take up another career, work part-time in your existing field, or quite honestly, find something entirely different to do with your life? There's a great book, Chris, I want to recommend anybody listening to this program thinking about retirement. I'd recommend reading. I'm in the process of reading it now, and so I'm very impressed. In fact, I hope to interview the author here on the show. It's called The Element: How Finding Your Passion Changes Everything by Ken Robinson. And he's just come out with the sequel, which is the book I'm actually reading. It's called Finding Your Element: How to Discover Your Talents and Transform Your Life. It is written for people of all ages. It is a book I would really recommend anyone contemplating retirement. Read it and trying to figure out what you want your retirement to look like. What do you envision yourself doing? And the other issue we need to discuss is with your spouse, especially if there's a major age difference or when the other spouse, let's say, will continue to work for a number of years, as the recent case I was talking about. Is your retirement goals aligned up with each other? Will you start your day, for example, at the golf course while she heads off to work? And will you sometimes travel alone or with friends? Will you do missionary work or volunteer? You really need to be clear about what your intentions and expectations are for the time you'll be spending together. Finding a purpose, a challenge in retirement, is the key to remaining and staying healthy throughout your retirement years. People who are productive have a purpose when they retire. They're healthier, they're more alert and sharp, and they tend to have fewer or delayed issues with either dementia or Alzheimer's, which we find out, actually through medical studies, are almost 75% a lifestyle issue, not hereditary. Another issue that comes up here is, this the right time to retire? And this one, quite honestly, Chris, is a personal issue. Judging from recent retirement trends in this country, more and more professionals are choosing to work longer and later, and this is especially true of professionals who may not have the, let's say, physical limitations of a blue-collar worker that tend to do more manual work. Personal health often plays an important role here, too, like when a surgeon, for example, senses his eye and maybe his hand dexterity is no longer adequate. And another factor that we've seen, especially since the Great Recession, a lot of companies will offer their employees early retirement packages, which may also play a role. Many companies that are downsizing, for example, may offer a very attractive early retirement package that becomes too good to refuse. And employees working for troubled companies, especially if they're having financial difficulties, they're downsizing, have learned that the first wave of early retirement incentives are usually better than anything that will follow, especially if the company's having financial difficulties. So one more issue comes up, and this is one that you need to think about, is how loved ones will be impacted. I just mentioned a client whose wife is 14 years younger that loses her medical coverage under her husband's plan when he retires and goes on Medicare.
Well, Jim, you talked about asking the question of whether this is the right time to retire. I encourage our listeners to find the interview with Lawrence Kotlikoff from last Tuesday's Lifetime Income show. I was struck by his statements on retirement at about 15 or so minutes into the show, particularly his number one rule: figure out how not to retire. And one of the reasons he gave, Jim, is that science could eventually keep us alive to age 150. Can you imagine that, Jim? I think we may need to rename our show from the Lifetime Income Show to the God Help Me How Long Will I Live Show. But on a serious note, I imagine that once these issues are addressed, the issue of money needs to be addressed. Now, how much money would you need, and what will change the day you retire? What expenses go away, for example, and which new ones get added, like hobbies and extensive travel?
You know, this is the one that catches a lot of people by surprise. You think, okay, I'm retiring. My expenses are going to be much, much less. Well, maybe you'll be spending less money on driving to and from work. But you know what? The same expenses exist when you were working still there. The bills keep coming in every month, whether you're retired or not. If you own a home, you still have repairs. Things wear out. Things need to be replaced and maintained. That also includes your own parts, including things like knees, teeth, even eye lenses. So when the paycheck stops, what are going to be your resources? What are they going to be? How dependable will your income stream be? Will your income be sufficient, for example, to last you throughout your retirement, especially now with longevity playing an important role? An issue that needs particular attention in your retirement budget is present and future medical expenses, because out-of-pocket medical expenses will average around $10,000 to $12,000 per year. Over the life of your retirement, that comes to around $250,000. Now, wow. You may not be spending a lot of it up front, but Chris, as you start getting into your 70s and 80s, drug prescription, more things that just come into play that Medicare isn't covering, the increase in your insurance premiums, both at the Medicare level and your Medigap insurance. This is where dealing with a qualified retirement specialist can really help, because detailed and careful analysis needs to be brought to bear on determining your income needs, not only today, but in the future, where inflation will increase the cost of just about everything, and especially medical expenses. And if you're listening to this program, think of your own life. Think of, for example, what you're spending today. And if you want to just see what has changed, go back and take a look at a check register from a decade ago. What you were paying on your gas bill, what you were paying for utilities, what you were paying for insurance, your food bills, you know, what did it cost for car insurance? All these kind of things, those bills still are with you when you're retiring. Because we're dealing with a span of time over retirement, something also that comes into play here is time value calculations need to be used and applied, because the cost of living of almost everything will continue to increase and accelerate, especially in the latter years where medical expenses can become a greater portion of the budget.
Well, I think that's where Lawrence Kotlikoff's warnings about outliving your savings can really be useful. What if, looking at the numbers, they just don't add up? Or what if it looks like things could be very tight?
You know, the can I afford it option, if addressed up front and well in advance, can afford a couple or an individual multiple options. One, a clear one, is just simply postpone retirement. You're thinking of retiring at age 62. You know what? In reality, you may end up being age 66 or 67. So you can build up a larger nest egg, build up, let's say, larger Social Security benefits, waiting to full Social Security age or full retirement age to get your benefits there. It also reduces the number of years that assets and income need to be covered. Another option, and we see this quite often, planning part-time work. This is a great way, if healthy, to fill a gap between, let's say, your retirement income needs and the funds that are available. And third, and I'll tell you, this isn't a very popular one, it's called reducing your lifestyle expectations. And one of the reasons it isn't popular, if you think about it, you've worked all your life, and then you spend your retirement in a reduced lifestyle, which is why, in many cases, individuals choose to, Chris, either postpone or, let's say, work part-time. It works out well to handle those income shortfalls. You can also, let's say, move to alternative cities or states or for that matter, even overseas. In fact, this is a topic we're going to take up here on the program tomorrow when I interview Dan Presser from International Living. Believe it or not, you can almost live like a king on $30,000 in Costa Rica. We'll be talking about five. Yeah, I don't want to give away the whole interview, but a two-bedroom rental unit there can cost between $500 and $700 a month. Compare that to what we pay here in California. Wouldn't even buy you a garage. And beachfront property can be bought for $200,000. So he's got a list of the top 5 or 10 retirement places around the world to live. You're going to be surprised at how cheaply. And this is an option that we're seeing more and more. I know in our own clients, Chris, they're choosing either to move from, let's say, an expensive area like California, or let's say the East Coast along the Eastern Seaboard. They're choosing to move to maybe Florida, Arizona, Nevada, if you're on the West Coast. And in some cases now, we're starting to see some that consider the option to move overseas.
So, Jim, what about the unfortunate issue of one spouse passing away? What happens to pensions and even Social Security?
That is the next issue that needs to be discussed, especially between husband and wife. If both spouses are receiving Social Security checks, you forfeit one on the death of the first spouse. Now, the survivor can choose between the larger benefit, let's say it might have been her husband's, but there are strategies that should be used in advance to enhance the surviving spouse's option. Now, statistically, according to Social Security, in most cases, it's going to be the woman. Women make up about 85% of Social Security survivors today. So you need to have a survivor plan so when the first spouse passes, it doesn't disrupt the lifestyle of the survivor. You need to plan for two scenarios because you simply don't know which spouse passes first.
Well, Jim, it's 2018. People are considering procedures they never would have thought of in the past. With women making up 85% of Social Security survivors, do you anticipate men in retirement opting for sex reassignment surgery to extend life expectancy to age 85?
No.
Okay. Anything else that should be considered?
You know, one factor you can't predict is what the market will do once you retire. I mean, if you just take a look at the last decade, as many boomers went through this, and it really set back a lot of boomers in their retirement. Think of the bear market between 2000, 2002. The NASDAQ lost 70%. The S&P was down 50%. Then 5 years later, a bear market between 2007 and 2009, when the S&P lost close to 60%, but even worse for many retirees that look for that safe source of income, the Fed brought interest rates down to zero. I mean, literally, if you had a bank account, you were getting nothing. I don't care if it was money market fund, checking, CDs on deposit, interest rates fell to their lowest point in human history. So for that matter, you know, you take a look at this, there are just simply no computers, advisors that can honestly predict. Your retirement plan has to have a solid, safe foundation. We'll see that in the case study that we're going to talk about today. That includes a good dose of predictable income, whether it's Social Security, individual bonds, or annuities, because there is also the risk in the portfolio, which can be an issue between spouses. From personal experience, we've seen numerous situations where a portfolio was, for example, heavily concentrated in one particular asset class, whether it was all in bond funds after the financial crisis, and those poor people saw their income reduced almost every single year as the Fed brought interest rates down to zero. And something also we saw in the run-up after the financial crisis, when we saw the Fed resort to quantitative easing, bringing down interest rates, but we saw the surge in precious metals when gold got close to 2,000. A lot of people bet the farm and went into gold assets. So we have special tools we tend to use, which allows a couple to sit down at home, work their way through the risk questions. But what it does, and I think this is important, it shows numerically what can happen to your assets, under various market scenarios. It shows, for example, the actual consequences of risk. What I like about it, it goes beyond conservative, moderate, or aggressive and shows real-world consequences when the risk levels are elevated in the portfolio. And hopefully the goal is to approach, let's say, an honest risk assessment that can be agreed upon by spouses. What you don't want to do is things are going real well as they have, for example, between 2016 and 2017, the market was going up double digits. And all of a sudden, people that were risk adverse suddenly now are saying, you know what, I'm a stock market investor, and they want to go more into the stock market. These are the kind of things you want to avoid when you're getting ready to retire.
So as we conclude, these are important conversations that need to take place between spouses, or really even by single individuals before they retire. So let's summarize. Number one, deciding the age to retire, which is the starting point for all retirement plans. Number two, the next important discussion is how you want to spend your retirement. What do you want it to look like? Your purpose, fulfillment, your dreams and goals, as well as hobbies. To some extent, this will drive your retirement budget. And number three, the next issue is whether you can afford to retire at the desired age. And if not, extend the age while looking at alternative options such as sex reassignment surgery to prolong life expectancy.
Or not.
And number four, having a plan B when the first spouse passes away and there could be a disruption or reduction of income. And number five, know and discuss and agree as to the level of risk you are both willing to assume in your portfolio once you retire. If you lose your assets, it's going to be hard to go back and make it up. Well, Jim, it's time for our real life case study. And this is a hypothetical illustration that's based on real life examples, and names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy. We have slides online, of course, at financialsense.com. Those slides do illustrate the points that are being made here today.
And this week, we're going to talk about the case of David and Carol White. And what I liked about this case, it was an example of the importance of getting together and discussing many of the questions that we've been discussing here on the program today, Chris, about retirement. When are you going to retire? What is that retirement going to look like? Can you afford it? What are you going to do with your life? And this was a case, and let me just give you kind of a little background on both David and Carol. Now, David was age 60. He's a construction contractor, and Carol is a travel agent. Now, David and Carol live in upstate New York, and in David's case, he doesn't want to move. He grew up there. That's where his friends are. He still has his side of the family living there. Carol, on the other hand, wants to move out of New York. She wants to get away from the cold winters, shoveling snow. In her case, siblings and a lot of her friends, when they retired, moved down to sunny California, got rid of the income taxes. It was cheaper to live down there, sunny, balmy weather, instead of shoveling snow. So there was kind of like a basic disagreement between them. They were talking about it. And here you had an issue where the spouse's idea of what retirement was going to look like was different for both David and Carol. What was important to David was he wanted to retire soon because he was in the construction business. And anybody in the construction business, you're still, no matter what you're doing, even if you're the contractor, you're involved in many cases in manual work. The unfortunate thing with David is his portfolio wasn't where he wanted it to be. So he wanted to get more aggressive. And of course, looking back since the financial crisis since 2009, you know, he was well aware that the stock market was up 300%. You know, I had to basically, when we were talking with David and Carol, we had to remind him. And, you know, pretty soon, this is going to be the longest running bull market in stock market history. And we all know the bull markets, and Dave knows this well from being in the construction business, going through business cycles, when the economy goes into recession, you're not doing much building. So, you know, I try to emphasize, look, we're coming to the end of this cycle, not the beginning of this cycle. And the other thing Dave did want to do, this is something they both held in common, is they wanted to be with their grandkids. Now, let's take a look at Carol's side of the equation. Number one, Carol is a lot more conservative than David. She wanted to preserve their retirement assets. However, she did not want to stay in New York. She was tired of the snow, staying inside, cold winters. She wanted to be down in Florida. That's where her siblings were. That's where a lot of the friends that they made over the years, a lot of them retired down to Florida, which you see quite often, Chris. A lot of people on the East Coast, the natural retirement state is Florida. First of all, you don't have any income taxes. Number two, you don't have to shovel snow, and it's a lot warmer. They also, you know, she wanted to be able to maintain the same lifestyle. Now, here was something, and this was more a reflection of David's aggressiveness. On a risk score basis, with 100 being the most aggressive, David was 72. Their portfolio was 76. So the portfolio was actually more aggressive. When Carol took the test in terms of risk, her risk score was 41, almost 40% lower than David. And her side of her portfolio with her IRA assets was a 35. So Carol was very consistent with her conservative investment philosophy, just as David was very consistent with his aggressive philosophy. And this is sort of, we had to bridge a gap here. We had two ideas of where they should spend their retirement. Carol wants to be in Florida. David wants to stay in New York. That was the first big difference. And the second one was, how aggressive did they want to make their portfolio? And I tried to point out to David, like, look, you want to retire, you cannot afford to go through sequence risk and go through a bear market where you could lose 40 and 50% of your assets up front over a bear market period of time. The typical loss in a bear market is 40%. The last two bear markets we had, the losses were 50 and 60%. Looking at their income, things are looking pretty good. About a little over $112,000 of income, expenses $81,000. So they clearly had a surplus of a little over $30,000. Basically, they were living on 75% of their income, which is good. You always want to see that. And however, in retirement, their income would be less. Their income would be $65,000 versus that $75,000 expenses. They would have a gap of $10,000. Looking at their assets, their home was $350,000. Roughly about $159,000 of liabilities. Portfolio was $820,000. Net worth a little over $1 million. Asset allocation, 43% in stocks, 20% in bonds, and 35% in cash. And really, that kind of represented more Carol's side of the portfolio than it did Dave, because David was primarily almost 100% invested in the market. So here's what we had to deal with. Managing expectations, being mentally prepared, and the separate goals on investments and where to retire. And that was something that we worked out with the compromise. We blended a portfolio a little more weighted towards stocks, but they were blue chip stocks. These were the kind of stocks you're not going to lose sleep. I'm not going to mention some of the names, but you know, if you're looking at the Dow Jones Industrials, companies that are in the Dow or in the top 50 in the S&P 500. That would produce roughly about $17,000 of income. Their rental property was $35,000, and that's where most of the liability was on. Social Security would be $30,000. Their portfolio would produce $17,000. That would leave them with a surplus a little over $7,000 a year.
Well, Jim, how did you resolve the issue of whether they were going to live in Florida or California? Because it seems like that tax benefit of living in Florida would have been a hard argument to win.
Well, you know, it's like everybody else. A lot of people on the East Coast during the winter months, they take vacations. They go down to the Bahamas, go down to Florida. And we propose the idea that they sell their house, downsize to a smaller home. And then what they do is they winter in Florida for 3 or 4 months out of the year. And that was basically, you know, addressing Carol's concern. Look, I hate the winters here. I hate being snowed in, shoveling snow. And I said, well, what if you could just go down to Florida during the winter months, be down there when the weather is great, the humidity isn't strong, and you're not in hurricane season, then go back up to New York. And that was sort of the compromise that we reached. And then David, we urged him to keep his cabinet business that he had on the side and use that for supplemental income to build up the portfolio. You know, the idea that we were in blue chip stocks, at least a little bit more in the stock portfolio than Carol wanted, but at least they were blue chip type stocks. They all paid dividends over 3%. And so that was sort of the compromise that we worked between both.
Well, Jim, you mentioned Dan Prescher from International Living. He will be our guest on the Lifetime Income Show tomorrow. He'll be discussing what's referred to as economic arbitrage, which is a concept where you can double your standard of living in retirement by retiring in another country. This is really going to be an interesting show. That'll be tomorrow, July the 24th.
I want to recommend that book by Robinson about finding your element. I think a lot of you that are thinking about retirement and you're thinking, what am I going to do with my life? This will help you sort out a lot of those questions of what retirement is going to look like. It is a fabulous book, and I hope to get the author on the show. And also, please listen to the show tomorrow on International Living. You will be surprised. I have a couple clients already that have gone from the East Coast to Costa Rica. As one individual told me, he said, you know, I was a millionaire when I lived in Massachusetts, but now living in Costa Rica, I actually feel like one. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.